There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
Biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me now, Anthony Puntarero. He is the CEO and founder of Success Co. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, if you could start out and tell us, what is Success Co?
Okay, well, Success Co is the parent company of Success Series. And what Success Series is, it's a coaching instructional platform which allows our users to experience superstars in any sport and get a lesson from them in virtual reality in one-on-one experience.
Very cool. Content creation businesses really, really thriving right now. And the educational content in particular is getting really hot. But you have a couple of really unique components to what you're doing. Obviously, the VR and then just the nature of being able to take lessons with your favorite athlete, et cetera. Can you tell me a little bit more about these unique qualities?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So effectively, what we set out to achieve when we first got started was to bring, you know, the world of superstar sports, athletes, entertainers to everyday life and for this to be accessible to everybody. So with the obviously the emergence of virtual reality between now and say the next 5 or 6 years, we thought we could create something where we could actually, immerse the user in this experience where they can learn. Our hashtag is learn from a pro. So you are learning from Ricky Fowler, say, in the golf class, we have a basketball class, a baseball class soon to come out. We obviously can't give away who we're working with just yet. But we also see some scalability into entertainment, lifestyle aspects as well. So we do see quite a broad scalability opportunity, you know, in that as well.
And you have been in this industry for a while, or sports specifically, I should say. Can you tell me a little bit about your other company, Instant Sponsor, and kind of how you transitioned or started Success Co. as an extension of that company?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I've been in the industry, sports, advertising, media industry for some time, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And what's interesting about Instant Sponsor is our mindset was to create a platform in sport that was an efficient process of procuring sponsorships and bringing a larger pool of sponsors to different sporting opportunities, whatever they may be. Why this is really interesting for us is because we have our own sport, if you like, or we've created our own content. So rather than do deals with, a team in, the major leagues or in the NBA, this is about having our content under the banner of Success Co. and Success Series, and we can bring our sponsors that we have into this realm as well, which is exciting because we see that there's great synergies between virtual reality and the companies that we deal with and have dealt with for the last 5 to 7 years. So, they're pretty excited about how the future sits and how it looks in the VR landscape. So if we can capitalize on those opportunities, I think it's going to be also very exciting.
Yeah. Was there a specific instance when this idea of Success Co. and the Success Series in particular was born?
There was, in a way. It's a great question because the first time I saw virtual reality through a headset, I thought it was cool. I thought it was a very, it was a different experience, of course. But I thought the ability to learn from someone in an environment like that was sort of the first thing that, came to my mind. It wasn't so much viewing sport or something like that. It was more, you could really have a one-on-one lesson with someone, or someone could teach you anything really in that environment. And I think that is something that excites me because you can create that and you can scale that obviously, globally, and someone can access a golf lesson with Ricky Fowler in any part of the world. And I think that accessibility is really probably the key to what we're doing. The content has to be great. And Ricky, has done a fantastic job and we're really proud of what we have that we've gone to market with. But the ability to be accessible and also also, you know, on that accessibility, you know, $3.99, it would start for a lesson up to $5, $6. We feel like everyone can afford it and everyone can get involved and sort of learn how to play better and get taught by Ricky at the same time.
Yeah, that's a really tricky thing, is choosing the price point. Did you guys just go with a gut feeling, or was there extensive research behind it? How did you come up with
your price
point? Yeah,
it's sort of a bit of both. It's a good question also, because, you know, you never really know how something is going to hit the market. And, you know, what you might think is a great price and affordable may not translate across the board. So it's fascinating how we've been received. We launched last Monday. So it's been, 7 days. And, you know, we launched on the back of Ricky's social media. And, you know, our conversion rate on that has been pretty solid. You know, we're very happy with the number of downloads that we have, you know, to this point. We haven't really done anything as yet. So, you know, we're excited about that. As far as price point in relation to your question specifically, I guess, you know, we can't compare it to getting a golf lesson at a golf club or something like that. That would be $60, $70, $80, I would imagine. You know, you would have to get yourself to the course. You would have to get clubs. You would have to do all that. You know, what we are trying to do is something, you know, it's slightly on the different end, where, you know, you can sit in your living room. You can sit in your, you know, wherever you are in the world, you can put the goggles on and have Ricky give you that lesson one-on-one. So we think there is a bit of guesswork. So you're sort of right on that. But it's more about, you know, what's a sweet spot for people. And I think to learn from, you know, a top 10 golfer in the world, how to approach chipping or a bunker shot, or how to get, you know, extra yards off your driver and stuff like that, I feel like that's very affordable.
Oh, extremely affordable. And in fact, when you have that lower price point, then you're really relying on the numbers. And you alluded to the fact that you were utilizing his social media. Were there other ways that you marketed the course and are really, really driving it to his fans?
Look, there are. And I think, you know, we are obviously targeting Ricky Fowler's fans. He's one of the most engaging, well-liked, you know, I almost, you know, I call him, you know, a celebrity golfer in the sense, you know, he's one that overlaps being a fantastic player and obviously in the top 10, but he has that life off the course. And, you know, he's a bit of a rock star in a lot of ways as well, even by his sponsors. You know, he's not your stereotypical golfer that, you know, definitely when I grew up watching golf, they were not like Ricky. And I guess that's exciting for us, you know, and the reason we targeted someone like Ricky is that he's a universal brand. He really is a global ambassador for the game. So to your question, you know, we look at synergies with even, you know, the governing organizations of golf who are trying to grow the game in certain parts of the areas. We see a great synergy with them. You know, they are obviously trying to grow the game in terms of content and tournament play and, you know, the accessibility for that globally. And so we want to sort of, you know, jump on the back of that, for lack of a better term, and then say, okay, well, you want to get better at golf, then this could be the way. And this is a way which you can learn from, you know, obviously one of the most, you know, famous golfers on the PGA Tour, and you can experience him in a one-on-one lesson type of thing. So it's not just Ricky's fan base that we're targeting. It's all of golf and anyone that would be willing to sort of learn or to experience something. And the other thing that's important, you know, it's not, you know, too technical a coaching content piece. You know, we really try to shy away from that, you know, because there's a lot of that in the golf world, albeit not from, you know, a top level player like Ricky. But we want it to be cool. We want it to sort of target a younger group of people as well. And I think Ricky's fantastic for that. But at the same time, you know, it's important for us to showcase and to sort of use our, you know, start our company on the back of such a big name and sort of leverage his fan base, as well as, you know, golf generally, fan base universally.
And it seems like such a no-brainer that his fans would appreciate something like this, but they tell you to test all ideas, even if they're great ideas. So did you do something before launching to really test your idea? And if so, how?
We sort of did and we didn't. Look, golf tuition and instructional pieces, like I said, have been around for a long time. It already is a proven market. You know, we didn't invent golf clinics and golf training. We sort of thought we would leverage, you know, Ricky Fowler with the technologies of this current time period and those 3 to 5 years from now. And I think that's interesting because basically we just looked at potentially, you know, where the industry is headed and tried to utilize, you know, the largest name in golf or one of the that there is. And so it wasn't so much about testing. We really, when we did the filming with Ricky and we sat down and sort of mapped it out, the focus was on just being yourself. You know, we don't want to give you too much technical information because golf is hard and to learn technicalities is even harder. And sometimes it's the simplest things or it's the little things that can go a long way into learning anything. So, you know, on top of that, it's not just about coaching, you know, how to hit the perfect shot, how to hit it further. You know, we sit down with Ricky in a one-on-one chat. And here he talks about, you know, his support network, the sacrifices he made. And when you see our teaser, you see that he's, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years old, and he's playing golf out in the driving range. And that's a personal connection that a lot of people, certainly, you know, when I watched that, I felt, wow, like, you know, Ricky has been doing this since he was 5, 6 years old. And now he's, you know, a product of what he's done for his whole life. So that is, you know, inspiring. And, you know, we want to inspire, you know, sports enthusiasts across the globe. And I feel like, you know, I hope that we've encapsulated that through Success Series.
Yeah, so it's so much more than educational in nature. It's really to inspire the fans and then also for them to kind of get to know the pros on a different level.
Exactly. So actually, one of the first pieces of advice that I got when I'd started this was, you know, what would be really cool if you actually, you know, if Ricky explained how we got to the PGA Tour. Yeah, sure, golf, you know, how to putt, how to do this, we get that. But, you know, what does it take to get to that level? And it's staggering when you realize how much hard work it is and how many millions of golfers there are out there that strive to be, you know, playing at the top level. Now, that's not to say that everyone that starts playing golf wants to play at the top level. And if you can pick up shots and you can play better with your mates or, you know, with your family or whoever you play golf with, I feel like that's, you know, everyone wants to be better at something if they can. And if it's not, obviously, you know, too expensive and it's accessible, I think anyone would want to get better at, you know, why suck at something when you don't have to?
Absolutely. Well said. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about developing this company. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Pro-grade carpet cleaning used to take pros. Now, it only takes a trip to the Home Depot for the Hoover SmartWash Advanced Pet Automatic Carpet Cleaner at a great everyday low price of just $229. With its automatic cleaning technology, you simply push to clean, pull back to dry for deep cleaning that doesn't take deep pockets. The SmartWash Advanced Pet Carpet Cleaner, just $229, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through June 19th.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This, found right here Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. Join us as we break down the financial world, things that truly matter to you, things that you should consider. You can find out more at our website at yourlifeafterwork.com. But join us Sunday morning, grab a cup of coffee, and let's break down the 5 critical elements, the things that can really change your financial life. Numbers 800-928-4001, yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll see you Sunday morning.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate limescale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where I'm continuing my conversation with the CEO and founder of Success Co. So you've really combined a few interesting industries here, VR, golf, online education. What has the response been like?
It's been very positive. I feel like we've hit a sweet spot for a lot of people. And I feel like, the accessibility of what we're offering is huge. And, you know, I also think we have the ability to scale, you know, like I said, into many different aspects of lifestyle, entertainment, other sports, which is important in a product because you want to keep it as dynamic and as, you know, ahead of the game as you can. And, you know, it is a disruption play, I guess you could call it, in the market. You know, typically golf lessons are not available in virtual reality, as well as learning how to hit a jump shot or learning how to, you know, throw a pass from the pocket in terms of American football. So, you know, we are creating something new, and we're definitely, you know, we feel like we're creating, a real technological advancement in what we're trying to do in instruction and in coaching.
And you are self-funded, so that's come with some freedoms and opportunities. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, we can pretty much call the shots with what we are doing on a daily basis. There's not a huge hierarchy or, we don't need to seek approval at this stage or things like that. I surround myself with a fantastic team, and that they play, their own instruments in their specific field. And that's why it works. You know, we have a great team. We have 12 people on board at this point. And, we're excited about what we're doing. And we all share the same vision and the passion for what we're doing. A lot of my team is solely focused in the VR landscape. And their number one priority is to create these experiences in virtual reality. I come from the other side of it where, you know, I bring the talent from, you know, what we've used with Instant Sponsor at the past, and obviously the connections with teams and leagues and organizations, as well as sponsors too, which I think is very important in that realm. So, you know, you're right in saying there is a sense of freedom. We can sort of be a bit cavalier at this stage and see where that takes us. And hopefully it's, it's a good place and we're moving forward.
What's been the response from the pros, and what are the benefits that they see from it?
This is probably the most satisfying thing for me as a CEO, is seeing how eager the athletes are to partake in this. You know, I always thought that would be the biggest challenge. You know, I was a bit naive in thinking, oh, of course, if you make a video with this guy or we're teaching you something, you know, we're going to sell a billion versions. But, you know, I thought to convince the talent would be probably the most difficult part. And for some reason, it hasn't been. And as I've learned that and spoken to many professional athletes and entertainers, et cetera, they're so excited to give back to their fans. And we've really touched on a sweet spot for them too. You know, to create a legacy, to leave a legacy behind where, you know, let's talk about Ricky, for example. We can watch Ricky play golf every week on the PGA Tour. But for him to leave something behind where, you know, kids of today and people my age and people older can learn, you know, how he actually plays golf or important things into doing that, I think is really probably the thing that got us over the line most with the professional athletes. I also think, the VR aspect of it, to be one of the first people to do this in virtual reality, is probably, you know, the other half of it too. So we have got nothing but great feedback from the athletes. They want to share their secrets. And that's why we ask Ricky and the athletes and the entertainers that we engage with, you know, we don't script it very heavily at all. You know, we set a platform and a framework that we'd like to cover topics. But, you know, I just said to Ricky, you know, just go ahead, just be yourself. You know, that's what we want. We want to learn from you, not me or not anyone else. You know, what makes you tick and how do you get here? So that's something that, you know, putting the power in their hands is definitely been a good thing from our perspective.
Awesome. How important are strategic partnerships and the distribution of your content?
It's very important. I think distribution is everything. If you're going to create content in this environment. There is not a lot of content out there, it would seem, at this stage, and that's speaking very generally, of course. But, you know, specifically with what we're doing, we see us, in a sense, and I'm always reluctant to get on this path, but a little bit on the first-to-market side. You know, there are, you know, a few other golfers in the world that are higher ranked than Ricky, but none of them are doing a VR series at this point, at least not of this very minute. So I'm sure that will change potentially as the VR industry takes off and sort of hits the goals and the milestones that it is expected to hit over the next year to say 5-6 years. And then we're really going to get a good understanding of, you know, how VR is effective, you know, across the board, not just in coaching, just as the industry as a whole. You see a lot of these, you know, big brands, big companies releasing new headsets and more affordable headsets by the end of the year. And, you know, they're really focused on putting, you know, headsets, VR headsets in as many households and as many people's hands as possible. So we want to be there when the penny drops and when everyone gets on there and, you know, everyone's walking down the street with a VR headset and it's like, okay, well, what can we watch now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we've done a good job of securing some of the distribution partners that we have to be front and center on some of the devices that will be coming out, you know, in the short term. Some are already out. So, you know, we're excited about that because I feel like the more reach you can have, the more people that can see what Success Series is doing and as broad a content as we can create in terms of not just being niche with golf, but having, you know, English football, you know, Major League Baseball, NBA players, whatever that might be, and some entertainers, some lifestyle stuff. I feel like, you know, my goal when we set this out, set out for this was, you know, to be the, you know, the go-to for learning, for instruction, to be that, you know, one-stop shop. And we have a long way to go, but, you know, we've got the first wheels in motion and we just started this journey.
Very cool. And you've been an entrepreneur for several years now. So what do you think is the biggest challenge and how have you overcome it?
I think the biggest challenge is getting in front of the right people. I've always thought if I could get in front of the right people, I could potentially, you know, give my dream to them or share the vision with them and they would get it. And I think, you know, it really makes sense to research who are the people that have synergies with what you're doing. Because obviously, if you pitch to investors that are not specific to your field, I mean, I don't mean exactly specific to the nth degree, but, you know, if this is a typical play for them and it's not that much of a lateral move, I feel like they're going to get up more than someone that's not. And for us, we look for strategic partners, you know, partners that are already in golf and in sport, partners that already have a distribution, have a reach, have a user base. And I think that that's sometimes more important than the money. But, you know, you're exactly right when you say, you know, there are a lot of challenges. You know, there are, you know, it's hard to go in there and to pitch and even to get knocked back and to get, you know, the run around. And I mean, every entrepreneur that is listening to this, and I'm sure even the ones that are sitting, you know, in Wall Street in their offices all experienced it. And it's a test of your own fortitude. It's a test of what you, you know, what your makeup is, because it's easy to quit. Quitting is the easiest thing in the world, but sometimes you're driven and everyone's different and, you know, not everyone's in your face and not everyone's overly confident because we have bad days and we have good days. We're humans. We're not robots. So it's just important to keep the vision. And I think you can keep the vision a lot easier if you have a passion for what you're doing because you love it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate your insights and so cool what you're up to.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Tracy McRae. You don't hear about it much, but osteomyelitis, or infection of the bone, is on the increase.
We've seen a dramatic rise in infection of the bone with some high morbidity and consequences, especially with the rise in diabetes.
Mayo Clinic orthopedic surgeon Dr. Paul Huddleston explains that adult diabetics can suffer from numbness in their feet, poor blood flow, and suppressed immune systems. All these factors make them susceptible to osteomyelitis. Treatment can be difficult, which can ultimately lead to amputations of the toes or feet.
That's how bad this disease is. I mean, it seriously affects people's mobility, their quality of life.
Dr. Huddleston says diabetics who manage their blood sugar levels...
Attention! Are you moving soon and don't know who to turn to? If you are moving or planning to move long distance or across the country, Moving APT is offering up to a 20% discount for radio callers this month. Let us handle and remove all the pain and stress in a long-distance move. Let Moving APT help you with your all-inclusive move, including packaging services, help with washers and dryers, mounted TVs, bed frames, and more. We can include packing and unpacking services or ask for boxes, tape, bubble wrap, or labels. We also disassemble and reassemble appliances and TVs at your new home. Moving is difficult and stressful, so call Moving APT today to find the most professional movers to support you. If you are looking for a low-cost quote to move long distance or across the country, call us now. Call 800-716-0362. 800-716-0362. Get a guaranteed quote with up to 20% off. 800-716-0362.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance. Call to receive a free DVD and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,000 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited-time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7183 for your free DVD and brochure. That's 800-956-7183. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7183 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Kelly Khalil is joining us right now. She's the CEO and founder of Loverly. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
Remind us, give us a quick recap. What's your company, Loverly, do?
Loverly is a website, book, and app that helps couples plan their weddings online.
So you have an awesome app. You were just telling me about this.
Yes.
But before you do, I want you to preframe it like you did about the story that was a failure that now led to the creation of this app. Take it away.
So the vision for the business was always to help brides find ideas, people to hire, and things to buy for their weddings. And I raised my Series A in 2014, chasing the investor dollars, and I kind of got pushed into or influenced into doing commerce because we had real-time trend data on what people were purchasing. So we launched a little collection of little white dresses. It was up for 4 months and ultimately not very many sales. However, so it was a major failure, but from that failure became essentially the opportunity of what is now our new product. Mm. We put a little chat on the site to get couples who had questions about products, and they weren't asking about the products. They were asking for our advice. Help me find a photographer. Help me find stationery for my weddings. And so we realized that that service is what couples wanted. So we launched the first ever virtual wedding planner app. It's an iOS exclusive app. You can download it in the App Store. You can chat for free with a virtual planner and then purchase flat fee affordable wedding planning packages. They start at $49. They go to $300. And we're bringing wedding planning to the masses all on your iPhone.
So most people don't understand people hear it all the time. Oh, we made an app, but they don't understand either how costly it can be, how much time it takes, how many iterations you have to do, how much constant testing and tweaking you have to do. Tell me about that part of it, because it sounds really cool, but I want people to understand the realistic part of like when you're going to create an app, how much money, how much time, how many things didn't work out.
Totally. So when we first, learnings from the e-commerce, I should have just put up a quick cheap site to see like, would people buy it? Yeah. We didn't do that. We invested a lot in the infrastructure. For this specific product, I threw up a landing page that I built myself. Meet your virtual planner, free consultation, free, you know, tasks or free consultation, pay tasks. Yeah. We threw up that landing page to see, was there an appetite for this product? There in fact was. We actually worked with an agency that we outsourced the build so that the core business of our media company was still kind of focused. Took us about 90 days to get the initial product out. We launched it. And we've been shipping every month updates. The biggest update is actually coming this week. We're introducing our first ever chatbot. Her name is Ava, expert virtual assistant, and she is designed to answer any of your wedding planning questions.
So you guys put in all the coding of if they ask this, it knows all the automated responses?
Well, we have 3,000 pieces of editorial content we put out about weddings for the last 4 years. Okay. We featured over 15,000 real weddings. And so we have a really powerful like data set on how much things cost, what cool trends are.
And that's integrated into this person?
Exactly. Okay. So the first version of the app is simply used to onboard our users, ask them, are you engaged? When are you getting married? And then ultimately, our goal is to have Ava be able to service a lot of the couples at scale because they want answers. They want it now. And millennials are impatient and they don't want to wait for someone to reply, you know, dot, 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 waiting for that response.
Yeah.
Also, interestingly enough, most of our users are downloading the app between 9 o'clock at night and 2 a.m. when they're stressed out, laying in bed, planning their wedding. And so we need to be able to service them when they, you know, have questions or are ready to start planning.
What are you doing for marketing? Because you said, you know, we came out with the app, did some surveys, we wanted to find it out if there was demand for it. But at the end of the day, did you just send it to your list of people that you already had? Did you draw traffic from Facebook ads or other types of marketing?
That's a great question. So since the inception of the business, we've done no paid marketing. It's all been organic.
Still
to this date. Wow. So we have a pretty big following on Facebook, like 550,000 fans. Instagram is also big, 350,000. All organic. We just consistently put out content. My background was in brand and PR, so we do get a lot of earned media, which has been great. For this specific product, because we wanted to test and learn, we wanted to slowly send our users over there. So we still haven't done any paid marketing. We wanted to make sure the messaging, the pricing, everything was correct before we started spending against it. We now have great conversion rates in the app, really happy users. So now we're beginning to think about what's the next stage and potentially driving all of our users there or doing some paid marketing. So that's the next phase of the business.
Well, that's very impressive. Not a lot of companies can say that they're not spending any money and have that type of engagement. CEO and founder of Loverly, Kelly Khalil, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Are you guys eventually planning on spending money? Because, you know, a lot of times you'll hear from coaches and consultants and business mentors that at the end of the day, the only way to have a long-term, scalable, and sustainable business is if you have a paid customer acquisition strategy. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, I think that to scale the business and to like actually get a bunch of users that were planning their weddings, we need to have a paid strategy. We also need to know, can we acquire users profitably? And that is very important if we want to actually raise a large venture round to scale the business. So I think it's very important to make sure we can acquire users profitably. Up until this point, we haven't done it. So that's a big question mark. And that's something that we're beginning to test and learn from. Ultimately, too, I think that you'll find that with paid marketing, you can target certain types of customers, and some might be more valuable than others. And so I think that'll be interesting to test and learn kind of who our sweet spot customer is. Is it the bride 18 months out or is the one that's 6 months out that's kind of freaking out?
So you said 550,000 people on social media following you guys.
Yeah.
You obviously figured out what's working.
Yeah.
And you didn't even pay for it. Not that paying for it's bad, because, I mean, you can pay to just put your content out there.
Yeah.
But you've been able to get over 500,000 people to follow you just based on your content. So you obviously know some pretty good do's and don'ts for building your personal brand on social media. What are those do's and don'ts?
So I think content is definitely king. This generation, millennials in particular, thrive on authenticity. And so we had a very fresh approach to speaking about weddings, a way more inclusive. We showed all different types of couples. And the things we talked about were things that couples really care about. So, you know, what to do if you have lost a parent? How do you honor them at your wedding? You know, what to do if you have divorced parents? How do you label the invitations, right? So we talked about things that I think a lot of people in the bridal industry didn't. And so that authenticity really resonated. We also had a consistent strategy. We put out content 3 to 5 times a day. When you go to our Loverly Instagram or Facebook, you see a photo, you know it's a Loverly image, just based on our aesthetic. So it's a really, we have very well-established brand kind of guidelines, and people know what to expect from us.
How do you know what content to put out, though? Because nowadays, lots of people know that content is king. You've got to put your information out there. But we also live in an information overload.
Yep.
We have way too much information out there, and it's tough to really know who to discern the right information from.
Yep.
So my question is, you know, how does somebody know what the right content is to create?
So what's interesting about our platform is, as we've built in our users, we can see what they're searching for, what they're clicking, loving, and saving. And so that has always been the underlying kind of data set that we write our content about. So right now we see purple bridesmaid dresses are trending. Let's write a story on that. So based on our own user data, then we started looking at what was trending on social. So Facebook has trending stories. Instagram has the same. And I think that's also been really helpful to see what kind of the more global community cares about and writing content around that.
So you said transparency and authenticity. A lot of people don't do that on social media.
Yep.
So how can they start to show up with their brand and their content to be more authentic?
So I think you can do it in different ways. Authenticity might be the way in which you speak to your customers. So the voice, feeling approachable and real, rather than you're just like a brand that's pumping out content. I think if you look at successful, true like brands, whether it's apparel or whatnot, people identify with the ones that they feel like they have a connection with, that feel real and approachable. And I think that's part of, you know, our essence of our brand.
How did you get so many people to actually engage? 550,000 people, when you're not paying for them to like it or anything like that, did you have call to action to say, follow us, like us for more information?
Yeah.
Was it organic? Is that?
So a couple of things. On Instagram in particular, we started a hashtag, So Loverly. So we encouraged couples to share their So Loverly wedding moments. And we also engaged the community of wedding vendors, photographers, stationers. So we launched that hashtag, and literally in the last 4 years, we've had over like 250,000 submissions. And that's how we actually find the content that we feature on Instagram, is user submitted through that hashtag. And so people then continue to submit. It's like a nice virtuous cycle. Then they follow the account to see if they get featured. So that's been really helpful on Instagram. And then on Facebook, when you write content, and especially in 2015 and 14, Facebook really started promoting publishers. And a couple of our articles that were really funny and well-written went viral. And so we got a lot of fans that way. And then we've been able to continue
always
to engage
helps.
Them. Yeah.
What are a lot of businesses failing at, or they could be doing better at, when it comes to marketing and targeting millennials? 76 million just in the U.S. alone.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very, very broad sweeping question. I think in the bridal industry in particular, what they value is transparency. And one of the biggest challenges for when you're planning a wedding, people don't know how much it's going to cost. And people don't put their pricing and availability online. And it's super frustrating. So it takes 6 emails back and
forth.
Just to figure out, are you available? Can I afford you? So I think that it's important for small business owners to respond quickly and timely. That's part of what our app does, is make sure, hey, if we're connecting with someone, they're available and you can afford them. But I think that it's that speed of response, and or at least put some information out there, because before they pick up the phone to call you, they want to know what their, you know, who you are, what your pricing is, at least as a starting point.
What do you feel like is, for the aspiring entrepreneur, the right time for them to cut the cord? Is it when they have enough money saved up? Is it like some people say, just do it, just cut the cord, burn the bridges and the boats and just get started? When's the right time for that person who has a 9-to-5 job to cut the cord and go all in on their entrepreneurial endeavors?
When to make the jump to be an entrepreneur, I think it's definitely a personal decision, but I think there's a couple of things that you should consider. One, have you done a good feasibility analysis? Do you know that this business could actually work? Have you talked to a bunch of people in the space? And not just your friends and family who are going to give you positive affirmations like, yeah, that's a great idea. Do it. Do the work. Definitely. I think, too, make sure you have enough runway, because in order to be able to focus on building a business, you cannot be stressed. Can I pay the rent? Or focus on building a business that's going to generate revenue quickly so that you can actually pay yourself.
So at the end of the day, it's contextual.
Yep.
Really depends on the individual. But I like what you said there, because for each individual, it's going to vary. Some people say, just do it. And I'm always like, I don't know if that's the best advice. There's no context there. But it is. It's contextual. It depends on the individual.
And it's also test a little bit.
Yeah.
Validate your assumptions. Throw up a free landing page. It's so easy now. There's so many platforms out there to build landing pages, which will take you 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you could spend $50 on Facebook to see if there is demand for that product or service you're offering.
Kickstarter, Indiegogo, a lot of platforms now let you test the idea and the theory to see if it works before Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How can small businesses improve customer relations? I'm Pat O'Brien with a Business Rockstars Minute. Now, more than ever, customer experience plays an important role on retaining repeat business. Here are some tips to make sure your customers are coming back for more. 1. Employee support. Make sure all of your employees are well-trained and able to speak to anybody that walks through that door, calls, or emails about your business. 2. Question your customers. The only way to know what customers want is by asking them, surveying them, asking them what they hope to obtain from your business and what their expectations are for you. 3. Offer promotions. Regulars can be the best word-of-mouth business. Creating loyalty programs treats regulars a little more special. Applying these tips can help mold your daily business routines as well as build your brand image. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
It's Jeff from Cat Spot Litter. If you own a cat, you know how much of a hassle it is buying that heavy, dusty clay litter at the store every couple weeks. Are you ready to save time and money? Well, listen up. I've invented a new cat litter that is lightweight, dust-free, and made from 100% real coconut. It's called Cat Spot Litter. There ain't nothing better at zapping cat urine smells either. The best part, for only $15, we ship a 30-day supply right to your front door. Shoot, we even offer a money-back guarantee. Jump on the coconut bandwagon and get rid of that toxic clumping clay litter. Start thinking healthy for you, your cat, and our planet. Go to catspotlitter.com and give it a try. Use promo code SAVE for 15% off your first order. Hey, I appreciate you listening.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery, and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered, too. So why not? You can call right now. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs, this is CEO Roundtable on Business Rockstars. I'm Laurel Mintz, here with Luz Rivera, founder of DIY Girls, and Kelsey Dorey, CEO of Vow to Be Chic. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks. So we're going to talk really quickly about some of the best practices and tips and tricks that you guys both have for being the founders of your company, okay? So let's start with corporate culture. Can you each tell me a little bit about what your corporate culture is and how you established it at your company?
My organization, you know, we have about eight. We're a small organization still, but the directors and, you know, program coordinators, I think they want to have a say in decision making. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of employee that I'm attracting, right? It's like a startup organization. They want to be part of the decision making process. So I really encourage that. Mm-hmm. And it's not just me telling them what to do. We also have a very flexible work environment and we use Slack.
You were just talking about that.
Oh, okay.
It's a great platform.
I feel like I run the company on Slack, right? In terms of communicating amongst the team. And we just started using it this year and it's worked so great for
us. How many people do you have on your team?
There's eight.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. the same as me. Mm-hmm. Kelsey, I know you've got 20. What about your corporate culture? Tell us a little bit about how you instilled that.
Yeah, I think it's partly having great leaders overseeing each of the different areas, and I work closely with them, and they work closely with their team, so that's great. We have a pretty open culture. I mean, we sit in a big open room together, so you can kind of overhear different things as the day goes on.
Concept.
Exactly. Yeah. And it keeps things, you know, we're pretty transparent across the company, so I think that's great. And also just making sure that we get time to spend together. So we have something where when you start at the company, you get a coffee card, and what you do with that is you take out every single person on the team for a coffee date to get to know them.
That.
And you can talk about work. You cannot talk about work. It's just to get to know people. So as you're sitting there doing your job, if you have a problem or a question, you know everyone around you, so you feel comfortable going and ask them questions.
Was that your idea? That's so clever.
Yeah, I think I heard it from a different company. I read about it somewhere, so I can't take credit for it, but I love it. So we instituted it.
Well, I think you and I might steal that one, right?
Yeah, I know.
So as entrepreneurs, we all have to stay really passionate about what it is that we're doing. I know that we all have days where we actually don't want to get out of bed or maybe don't want to do the work that we have to do. There are some days that are fantastic and other days that aren't. How do you stay passionate about what it is that you're doing?
I mean, I think there's just always a million things to do. So if you're having that off day, then redirect and focus on getting some other stuff done. But, there's so many things you need to do across a wide spectrum of areas that you can just focus on a different area that you think is fun, right? So if I'm having an off day, so a lot of times just talking to someone on my team helps. So I'll say, you know what? Hey, let's go do a quick check-in. And I'll take someone on my team and we'll go walk around the block and do a quick check-in and see how they're doing, see if they have thoughts for me. Really connecting with the people on my team always tends to make me feel better.
That's great. And you work with so many young women. I'm sure that helps inspire you.
It really does. You know, a lot of times I am away, you know, I'm having meetings with potential funders and partners. And what motivates me is to, you know, actually go into a classroom or to a space when I see the girls and talk to them and they tell me why they love our programs. So that really motivates me.
Yeah,
I love
that.
Keep me going.
So let's talk about some of the mistakes we've made as CEO. So I'm going to ask you to fill in the following sentence. The biggest mistake I made as a CEO was?
I think expecting my team to also go through, you know, how hard it is to, you know, like thinking that they're also the CEO in some way, right? And I think they wanted more structure or, you know, things in place. And me thinking, well, we're all in this together, right? And partly they are, but I think as the founder and CEO, it's really you that you'll do anything for the company. Right?
I would agree with that. I had a moment where one of my employees said, you know, you really come to me with all the issues in the company, and I'm not the CEO. You kind of need to deal with that on your own. And it was a real eye-opening experience.
Definitely, you know, finding someone outside of the company to talk to about how you really feel, right?
That's why they invented advisors, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I've been working with a coach and, you know, and having someone outside so that I'm not always talking to my team and treating them as a peer. And the decision, and that part of the decision making, and the tough part.
Got it, Kelsey. The biggest mistake I made as a CEO was,
I think one of them is, and I think we probably all make mistakes and wish we had done things differently pretty regularly. But I think one of them is wanting to get everything done all at once and have everything happen all at once. Like, you have this big vision and you want to be there. You want to be 5 years down the road. You want it all done right away, all happening right away. And so actually breaking it down and realizing how much time and effort it's going to take to get there is something that, you know, prioritizing and scoping things out. But I think for me, it's always like, I want everything done right away.
So let's talk about scaling your companies. You're at 8 people. You're at 20. You just got a huge round of funding, which is amazing and going to give you some runway for some time. Yep. What's next, and how did you scale from the one-woman operation that you were 2 years ago to where you are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it was lots of, you know, interns and people helping out and all of that good stuff as we could go, and really muscling your way through it. I think a lot of startups have to do that. Now that we have the funding, it's really about hiring, and let's find great people. Let's make sure we add more great people onto our team, and let's build out those processes and systems that we need. We grew 10x year over year, and we want to do that again next year. So how do we, you know, we need our systems to catch up with, you know, where we are now, but also where we want to be 1 year and a few years down the road. So it's really about the systems and the people and making those investments that'll take us even to the next level.
Well, with 10x growth, your investors must be very happy. I want to be on that team.
Yeah.
And do you have plans to scale? I would guess so.
Definitely. I mean, probably more in the direction of offering our curriculum and projects. We just launched a club kit where anyone, anywhere could order a kit where they can do hands-on projects with girls. 10 girls, so they can run their own DIY girls club. And we just last week received an order from someone in Mexico and then someone at an Air Force base in Germany and to do with kids there.
So you productized your service offering, and that allows you to scale on the retail side, basically. Interesting.
So, you know, it brings in revenue to the organization, you know, to help run our current programs. But then we're also reaching girls all over and without having to grow the team 10 times, right? So that's our strategy.
Well, thank you guys so much for all of this feedback. Having great passion about your business, being able to scale appropriately, use fundraising properly. So exciting. Thank you for being here with us. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is CEO Roundtable on Business Rockstars.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Their free, unbiased resources can help you get smart about insurance before you buy. For information you can trust, contact your state insurance commissioner or visit insureuonline.org. That's insure, the letter U, online.org.
A promise was made. A promise that hit the beaches of Normandy. A vow that captured Iwo Jima. A contract that weathered Tet. A pledge that stormed the desert in Iraq. An IOU that braved IEDs in Kandahar. A promise was made to America's veterans. DAV fights to keep that promise so all veterans and their families get the benefits and support they earned. For help, visit DAV.org.